With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's another edition of the SC Report, and it's Wenin here joined by JT, who is once again started the season on absolute fire. How are you, JT? And maybe you can just tell everyone where you're currently ranked after round one.
Mate, the lightning's burned again. Lightning has struck twice. I have somehow found myself in 366 or something like that, courtesy of one Jason Taumalolo and Jakey Friend scoring tries. So it's happened again. Already off to a fly, mate. How about yourself?
Not too bad, hey. I'm just pointing up my overall rank now, but from memory, I finished within the top, I think, 8,000, which is pretty good, I think, for this stage. So 7,600, a score of 1,008, got hit with some nasty downgrades.
Ooh.
Particularly Morgan.
Monday. Awful.
Shocker.
Weird day.
Oh,
they had
yeah.
Updates in at 8, and then throughout the day just kept rolling in.
So we've got a chat, a WhatsApp group, and no sex tapes there yet. But it's a group of the league we're in, and we'll. I think the day started with this is good. One update. This is looking really nice. Well done, boys. It's going well. And then, you know, income 9, 10, 11, 12, more updates, then down dates. And then it just kept on happening. We've gone, after all the work that's happened, particularly with the Daily Telegraph boys, put in phenomenal effort. I think it was like 3 to 4 articles a day. And then for it all to just, you know, happen, it's not their fault, obviously, with Vapor controlling it, but please, just one update. That's all we ask for. No updates throughout. Just one update. Do it all in the background. And then once you're happy, just do it. I don't understand why it has to be out in the public. Anyway.
It's always going to be conjecture, always going to be fuss made. But if you just do it once, one update, get it done, get it through. We'll bitch about it later on. But just get it done.
Mate, that's what I think as well. And I don't know how about you are, but I was fortunate not to be hit by any injuries, or even the players that I've got as well that I've selected, I'm quite comfortable with. So I'm not making any trades this week. And even if I look forward to next week, potentially it's the first time in a long time that I can remember, maybe ever, that I could make no trades after two rounds. What
next
about
week
you?
As well.
Potentially,
because obviously
yeah.
Next week's the big moving week. And as you said, like
So for the people that may be new to Supercoach, why is next week such an important week?
So obviously this is the first round where price rises or price drops, as they may be, will come into it. So the Supercoach gurus, the stat guys as they are, work on a rolling average for your players. So they'll play 3 games before their price moves up and down, depending on what their break even is, which you might have seen in the app.
Yeah, so I guess we'll touch on that a little bit later on, but it's kind of important that people aren't rushing to make trades this week with the price movements.
Try telling 90% of super coaches not to make trades.
They love
They're
it.
Addicts, mate.
And what
addicts.
We've got 1.5 trades, or roughly around 1.5 trades per week. So obviously not enough trades to go throughout the season, but people won't learn. They'll burn the trades. I'm looking and talking to you, Nick. Cannot save a trade at all. Anyway, we digress a little bit from what our initial run sheet was looking like. So what are we going to talk about today, JT?
We've had the intro. We thought we'd touch on a bit of round two team news. Obviously, there's quite a bit of content on the site around Team List Tuesday that dropped yesterday, your fantastic article that you put up there. Plenty of news in there, so we'll go through a little bit of those guys. And then we thought we'd mix it up a bit and just have some general topics in here. So we've got three down that we'll run through during the middle. So you had a couple of ideas here. So impact of poor weather and injuries, obviously ran into a heap of that over the weekend. We'll dive into how that might have affected some scores. Secondly, we'll go through second row forward and center wing duels, the absolute rolled gold of Supercoach. And we might have some fantastic candidates this year. It's good to see. And then I thought we'd add in just a little run on to make trades early or not to make trades. So we'll throw those in, make it a bit interesting. And then to close out, we've asked the Twitterverse to put forward some of their queries, some of their burning questions during the week. So we've got some of the best here that we'll go through, and I think that'll wrap us up.
Let's just jump straight into the team news. So obviously, Teamless Tuesday yesterday. I mean, we're not going to go through in detail about all the things, but we'll cover at a high level the what's really going to impact from a Supercoach perspective. And the first, and starting with, I think, the last game of the week with the Warriors. So interestingly, that Papali'i has been named to return after a one-week club-imposed sanction. But Lachlan Burr has retained his spot at lock. So that's all really good for now. We don't know 100% if that's going to stay true come Sunday, but it's good signs.
Horrible timing that last game of the round, because if you're banking on Burr playing as a starting lock and then he's rotated out, whatever it might be, late change, you're sort of stuck there. So very interesting one for owners.
And I guess the other news there is that Isaac Luke has been named on the reserves. Nathaniel Roach is still got that starting position. However, I did read some news today that said that, you know, the Luke is pretty close to being pulled into that 17. Yep. So he's probably don't be surprised to him to be a late inclusion. And if that is the case, that's also very good news for Burr as well, right?
That you'd have Roach on the bench.
Yeah, exactly.
Rotating. Yeah, exactly. It always helps to have that utility player. So they used to have Jazz Tavanga, who now comes on as a bit of a second rower, but if it means more minutes for Burr, bench or starting, that's golden for 196k second rower.
So before we move on to the biggest team news of the week, I'm just looking at the beer that JT has put in front of me. A beautiful Tui's New.
Sponsored.
And you know, it's amazing, us being loyal Queenslanders as well.
This
so
is atrocious. How
jumping
did they drink
down,
this down
I'd just like to point down to the bottom of the can where it says best enjoyed in a chilled glass.
Well, the 5 minutes before we did this in the freezer didn't quite work out, but you can imagine what a good beer would taste like. Just imagine yourself drinking, say, a Great Northern or a 4X Gold, as we'll be doing on Friday night, watching the Cowbies get up. We'll see. Just imagine it's a good beer, mate. We'll get through.
Any beer is a good beer at the moment, mate, at 6:30 on a Wednesday night. So
what we do for the love of this game.
Okay, so the biggest news of the week, and I can't believe it, to be honest, but Jordan Rapana is into the side. Now, the thing to point out about that, and I'll quote one of our favourites, NRL Physio, but he did have a tweet this week which said that it is in a lot sooner than what the Raiders had said. However, for the actual diagnosis for the injury that he had, this return is not unexpected.
I think he put up a list there of a few other players that have come back in similar time frames, so probably not too unexpected, but we're out of nowhere. Hey, Simonson dead. First cheapie down.
Yeah, so my strategy of running with the two non-playing reserves in Allen, or Allen effectively non-playing reserve and definitely non-playing reserve this week, and then Cherry from round one, strategy is proving okay at the moment.
Because you don't have Simonson.
Don't have Simonson. Cool. And also, I don't know. They've got Garrick, who didn't perform too well on the weekend. I've gone with him, but I don't have Sivo as well. But he's been named this week, but Jennings is lurking in the reserve. So, yeah, so that's an interesting thing with Rapana. I think that's just a wait and see. He could, you know, obviously not jumping into buy him at the moment.
He's named in the side. So if he was on the extended bench and like a late inclusion, you'd be a little worried. But if Sticky's named him straight there, you'd expect him.
Yeah,
no issues.
Great draft pickup for those who picked him up in the late rounds as well. So Pangai Jr. has been named lock. So that's happened because Lodge is out suspended for a couple of weeks. And that also seed Fensom coming into the side too. So Pangai was super impressive last week. I think he played 40 minutes but scored around about 56 points. So PPM, you know, fantastic there, or points per minute. So the signs looking really good. What are we thinking there? Because I know, see, his name has been floated around in terms of a potential trade-in target. I don't think there's any rush.
No, and I liked him coming off the bench, watching his sort of super coach points rack up. Not that I love the Broncos, but him coming on against tired forwards, sort of running on that edge and a bit in the middle there, he can wreak havoc, and that's probably why he saw the points per minute so high. So the fact he's been named at starting front row is probably not something you're going to jump at straight away. And the reason we got off him to begin with was that off-season hammy issue. So you'd be a very brave super coach to dive straight back in and put him in, forgetting that and just looking at last week.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, good that he's getting starting minutes, but I don't see it affecting his score too much.
No, and I think, yeah, so just correcting myself a bit on those stats. So 56 points last week in 49 minutes. Points per minute of 1.14, 46 base points as well. So fantastic return, I think, for someone that's had a limited preseason over the past month, you would say, after that injury in the trials. But, you know, given that he's priced at a 53 average at the moment, scored a 56, there's no rush to bring him in.
He's so, not going to be, you know, premium gun out of range territory early on, so definitely wait and see.
Definitely wait and see, but someone to target, I think, is maybe one of the first upgrades if he keeps on going, because if those hammies stay, he could be anything. He could be a 600,000 dual positioned player, so which is really good. Injuries at the Dragons and poor old Tyson Frizzell. What's happened there?
Tears in the eye stuff. That was awful. I still don't know how it happened. He just about the only real useful thing Jordan Kahu did was have him fall on his knee.
But he's still got one Dally M point though.
Mate, Hodges must have found it absolutely hilarious, because that's the only reason I could think that he got that 1 point. But we digress. That brings Jacob Host again is nailed down that second row spot for the time being, you would think. So he's been a great pickup for anyone that got him early, thanks to these sort of injuries and suspensions. But Blake Laurie comes in now to starting lock. So what do you make of Laurie on there? So he's around that cheapy forward sort of range, but you would suspect between Host and Laurie that Laurie is the one with less security going forward.
Less security, but much more potential, I think, if he does stay in the starting side. Even if you look at the difference between the two, I mean, Host historically has produced, his work rate is not fantastic at all. So
even on the weekend.
Yeah, he played 60-odd minutes and scored around about 40-odd points. So he's roughly around about that 0.6 points per minute, where Laurie is a, 1 point per minute. That's what he's produced over the past couple of years. Played 42 minutes off the bench last week for 42 points.
He nearly got a try. Nearly got a tap out of nowhere, and he's nearly steamrolled him to get over. That would have been massive for anyone that got him, but that's it. As you said, the reason we say that Laurie's probably got not the best security is obviously Corbin Sims coming back into the fold next week.
Yep.
So wait and see kind of thing where he ends up, whether they start him straight at lock to stiffen up that forward pack or ease him in off the bench. He did play a couple of games in the preseason as the suspension didn't count there, so you'd imagine he'd be pretty fresh and fit. So I expect him to go into that 13 spot and Laurie to go back to the bench next week. So could be a potential trap if he doesn't score quite large this week, I would imagine.
Yeah, look, I think that for me, both of them are relatively potentially good buys next week. I wouldn't be jumping on them. I don't think there's any rush this week. Host is, I mean, as I said, he's not going to be a roll gold money-making machine. You've got Leilua on the bench as well. But I think that he will play 60 minutes. And produce 40 to 45 points. That should be enough to see his price increase by around about 200K from where it is now. Laurie, I think, could produce basically the same with reduced minutes, but, is it that little bit of an elevated price? So he's probably got a little bit less of profit to be made. But both are definite options to be bringing in if you do need to look for a cheapie in your in your forward pack. Angus Crichton, what is going on there?
Right, who would know? It's all the talk about the shoulder injury, I think it is, just being sort of eased back into it, but could potentially be worse than we first imagined.
Well, why play him?
Why play him at all?
Yeah.
Off the bench. Well, he got through, what, 20 minutes or so last week. Looked pretty busy when he was out there. Obviously, the game was sort of gone by that point, but I don't know. Like, he played the trial. He started in that. He captained him, and then...
I think he scored a try. It's just weird.
He did.
I don't know what's going on.
I reckon, and, you know, conspiracy theorists in me, Mitchell Orbison either got photos of the coach or the coach has got him in Super Coach. Like, how many people have we seen trade in?
Sex tapes.
Mitchell, who?
Sex tapes.
It's all the rage. It's all the rage. And I reckon Orbo's got a juicy one. He's sitting.
And we're joking there before anyone tries to sue us. We are joking.
Allegedly.
We don't. Nick Plyce is a great man. We don't have anything. It's a joke. Okay.
But in all seriousness, though, he's, yeah, Orbison's there as a placeholder, you would think, for the time being. But
yeah.
How long is that time?
It's just, it's weird. Well, hopefully for a few more weeks.
Well, how good would it be? What's Crichton, 640?
Yeah.
Few games off the
bench. So I'll just bring, I know the after round one break even isn't anything, but I'll bring that up right now. He's got a break even 171. So the true Brett Beale will come through after this round, and we'll see. But he is set for some pretty hefty price rises. What I'm going to do, I've got my laptop in front of me right now, and I'm using, which everyone should be making the most of, but NRL Supercoach Stats, fantastic website. Matt Hawker is a tremendous guy. They've got a tool there called Price Change Calc, and what we can do is basically predict what the price is going to be for Crichton and after a few weeks. So we've locked in his score of 12. Let's just say he scores 20 points this week coming off the bench, reduced minutes. But then he's going to average 70 points after that. And then that is going to say that he is going to decrease in price. So we're looking at it now. He could, after lockout, basically, of round three, he could be looking at close to an $80,000 decrease in price. And, you know, get down to, you know, around about that 560,000 mark before he starts, and that's almost 100,000 right there and then, right? So the reason why I raise that now is people are looking to trade Nathan Brown,
yep,
and he's the next player we're going to talk about who's obviously injured. I think he's missing for up to 3 months. My point being there is that people are trading Nathan Brown to say a Pangai Jr. or someone that might not be a keeper, or even downgrading to a Garner or something like that.
A lot of Bateman,
right? If I was a Brown owner, I would be looking at Crichton's price and also looking at scores and saying, well, and potentially by round five or four, I can pick up Crichton round five for 100K less.
Because Brown's not going anywhere.
Not going
His
anywhere.
His price is going to stay the same for the next 3 months.
I'll make 20K from trading Nathan Brown to Angus Crichton.
So you pull that trigger in a few weeks' time.
Why not?
And you've got to resist the urge to trade.
You do have to resist the urge to trade. But, I mean, I just don't think people are looking into stuff like that. So he's a representative back rower. He was brought over on big money. He's going to be starting, and Orbison is going to... And as much as we love him, as much as we love Orbo Gunn, he's going to drop away. It's just inevitable. We know that. And Crichton's going to be playing 80 minutes on the edge sooner enough. So everyone's going to get a fantastic price. And unfortunately, a lot of us aren't going to have the cash cows that are going to be as matured at that stage to be able to move up. So you're going to probably pull the trigger a little bit earlier. So for the Brown owners, it's a good opportunity. That's all I'm saying. Let's talk about Nathan Brown. So he's out for the next 10 to 14 weeks, I think it is. So he's a definite trade out. That's too long to hold. It's just depending on when you're going to do it and that. The other news from Parramatta is Will Smith thinks out for 4 to 6 weeks. That opens the door for Jamin Salmon, who comes into the side. And you've also got Matt McCulloch, who was officially named today as well. So,
and that might be a dagger to your Reed Marnie owners out there who saw his 80 minutes with a try, didn't get the best return. But as soon as McCulloch comes into that side, if he does, that might virtually write Marnie off, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look what Reedy Boy did, he played 67 minutes for 63 points, but only 34 of those were base. So without that try, that's a pretty poor score. And, you know, he did start the season at a 40-point per game average. So he's effectively would have gone backwards in price a bit without that try. So I don't think he's a great option, but good on you if you stuck with it. You picked him, you got that try. Copes and a few of the other guys that are in our chat, enjoy it while it lasts. It's not going to last too long. And what about Sivo? So he holds his spot. George Jennings is floating there in the reserves. Mm. And I think that the mail at the moment is that that's how it's going to stay.
Yeah, well, it'll be nice. And especially now he's coming up against the Bulldogs. Like, this is his chance to cement his spot. If he can nab a couple of tries here and look busy and get out there and get involved, then it's his spot to lose then. And he keeps Jennings on the Pines. This is a perfect week for a guy like Sivo to run riot and lock himself in for a month or so, which would be massive for us. We can't have another Simonson on our hands as an owner. Just can't. And we knew that risk coming in. We knew that risk with guys like Simonson, with guys like Sivo. But yeah, this is his week where he can really cement his spot. And I'm actually looking at playing him. So obviously, he's coming up. And you pick your sort of center wings on matchups, as yep. I like to do early on, especially your cheapy guys. And I think this is a week where, weather permitting, he can crash over for a couple. I can't wait to watch.
Excellent. Okay, so I think that's everything for the round two teams. Is there anything else from your side, Justin, that you want to bring across?
Not particularly. Oh, there is one thing I missed in the introduction. We were just talking about how good I was personally, my 300-ish score. It's actually part of the number one super coach scoring league in the competition. It's a little Cowboys fan forum that I'm a part of, cowboysstampede.com.au. A few of us, 10 in total, got in there.
He's such a homer.
Nailed some brilliant scores. So shout out to the guys there. Number one. Who knows how long it'll last for. I think our Young Legends group with Copes and those sort of guys got to maybe 30th last year.
Not bad. We're carrying a couple in there, including Tom Sangster.
The poor bloke.
Tom Sangster and the old Surge Buster are struggling pretty heavily.
Oh, so, got Lift Mark boys. And Sparky off the site there, not doing so. Oh, actually, yeah, he didn't do too badly there. He's in for a big year, I hope. A few of the guys in there.
All right, mate. Let's just take a quick break and then we're going to jump into the meat of the...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So something a little bit different this year. Historically, on the SC report, we've had a look at the trades in and out, and those kind of things. This year, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on three key takeaways from the round that's gone that we think is important to get across or to discuss. Just as you might with your mates, if you're sitting in the pub having a beer and talking super coach, maybe you're talking about these three topics. So Justin and I are sitting here with a lukewarm to his new, struggling to get through, but we'll make it. We're going to cover three topics. So the first one is just the impact of the weather and injuries over the weekend. And I guess why we want to talk about that is when I had a look and when I was working through the team's analysis yesterday, Justin, I'm sure when you did the weekend roundup, yeehaw, there was horrendous weather on the weekend, and that in itself was going to impact Supercoach. Mm. Players aren't offloading as much. They're just straight running the ball, tackling, and a heap of errors. So, we do have a stat here from Tim Newmans from Fox Sports that he said that round one had the fourth most amount of errors since 2013. And that's massive. And if you look at even some of the guns, like look at a Damien Cook and a few of those guys, which are stat beast.
No, Marty Tapau did not throw an offload.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah. And even if you look at guys that perform really well, like Robbie Farah, he still only had 40 base points, right? Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about that. So, the key message for me, and I'll pass over to you, but the key message for me is do not rage trade because of round one, because of the weather. I mean, it was horrendous. It rained everywhere on the eastern side of Australia. Yeah. I think the only place it didn't rain was in Melbourne on the Thursday night. Every other game was effectively impacted by rain. And maybe New Zealand as well. It didn't
rain. New Zealand was fine, yep.
And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, that produced lots of good Supercoach scores,
yeah.
Particularly for the Warriors. So my takeaway is I think round one is basically a bit of a write-off. Mm-hmm. It is the one round that falls out of the rolling average in terms of price movements sooner than any of the other ones. But we seem to react a lot more to round one scores. So I would just take that into consideration. What about yourself, Justin?
Oh, absolutely. And we talk about, so even I was thinking over the weekend, I was trying to land on a captain. There was wet weather everywhere. I've got no idea. I went with late change from Jai Arrow to Jake Trbojevic. So I just thought, Manly, it's going to be a horrible game. There's going to be so much defensive work to do. Gerbo's going to get there. He's going to be given the ball and run it up every set. And what ends up happening is that as teams keep dropping the ball, they set scrums. They waste time for that. There's no tackles to be made.
Yep.
There's no hit-ups to be done without an error. So all of a sudden, you're trying to reconfigure your game for wet weather, and even your base stat beasts just aren't doing the job that you expected them to do. And same as you said, so cheapy wingers were mediocre with their returns this week.
Yep.
And that's all down to how expansive their teams were playing. So obviously in the wet, you're not going to spread the ball wide and the wingers aren't going to fall over the line like we hope them to.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, say weather's dry, then next minute a guy like Sivo, as we've said, falls over for a couple of tries. And all of a sudden that 20 or 30 that you were worried about this week becomes a thing of the past. And as you said, like, it's going to mean nothing after the first price rise in 2 weeks' time because that rolls out straight away. So like most years, you've got to resist the urge to rage trade, as we call it. So to see a bad score and think I need to get rid of him. And that's why you see guys like Orbo. That's why you see all these other players who you normally would never touch as super coach options. All of them are sitting in that most traded in list. And everyone's just got to calm down, like your Kalen Ponga owners who were tearing whatever hair they might have left out watching him on the weekend, thinking, this is, what have I done? I need to trade him. I need to go to Munster, who got a ton. You just need to give it another week and wait. Maybe the weather turns dry and maybe you get a look at what it's generally going to be like during the season. Because it's not monsoonal every week.
No, absolutely. I mean, if you look at Ponga, what he scored, 38 points and he did nothing.
And in the end, that actually ended up not being that bad.
Yeah.
When you think about some other scores, like Teddy's, for example.
And for the people that are trading out Ponga, I guess all I'd say is, please go and do it. Because at the moment...
No, join me on the death ride bandwagon here. I don't own him. And hey, Friday night was fantastic for me.
33% of all teams owned. So, yeah.
That's a rough
ride. But if we look at the upcoming fixture for Ponga as an example, plays Penrith this week, has an average score against them of 50 points. And then he plays Canberra, St. George, Manly, Titans, and then Parramatta.
Some juicy stuff there. So, that is making me very frightened.
Okay, so he averages 93, 66, 57, 94, and 60 against those clubs over his career.
So why are you trading him out? Why is anyone
trading him out? Why would you trade him out? No. So you have done the research, or maybe you've read a few articles, listened to a couple of podcasts, you've put him in.
Right.
After one round, it all changes. Why?
No reason. No, absolutely no reason. Obviously, we knew coming into the season, he might start a little slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're focusing on Ponga here, but he's obviously new to the position in terms of NRL. He's working with Pierce and Watson at the back. There's a lot of guys who are going to command some attacking ball there.
Yep.
And it may have always been going to take some time. But, you know, this week he'll come out and I'll know. I'll sit back as a non-owner and watch him absolutely tear it up as people did last year. And that's just the nature of this game.
My captain this week, lock it in. Lock it in.
The game's sort of midweek, so not a bad option.
Mid-weekend, yeah.
Mid-weekend.
But if anyone saw the Penrith game on the weekend, they look like a pretty distressed club at the moment. It looks like they're going to start off really slow. And the Knights, I'm tipping a bounce back.
Yeah.
For particularly, well. So they obviously won, but I'm tipping a bounce back for both Ponga and Fitzy to go pretty good. So my call of the week, Wenon's call of the week, is Ponga captain and a Fitzy Ponga or a Pongimun combination points total of 160 over.
Oh, that is huge. They're obviously hoping that Ponga feeds Big Fitzy for a couple of tries.
Oh, yeah.
He was quiet, Fitzy, because Ponga was quiet.
Yeah, still so 40 points, not doing much. Nearly had it and was pretty unlucky to not scoring it at one stage. So
you mentioned their opposition there, just cut in. So Nathan Cleary, another one that guys had set in their side for months and months leading in. A few guys, myself included, jumped off the bandwagon thinking all this off-field stuff with the Panthers was going to affect him. And he had a poor game by his standards on the weekend. No one can deny that. But he didn't return a single attacking stat. And yep. Nathan Cleary is a guy that just doesn't stay out of the game for that long. We've seen in his last sort of year and a half he's been in the NRL, he is one of those guys that will just turn it on out of nowhere and go big in games. So the fact he got, what, a 25 or so, unfortunately, you're going to have to ride some of those scores. If you've backed him in all off-season, you know what he can do. There's no need right now to panic as an owner. He got close as well. He got a ball away to Wonga Blake with the line wide open, who managed to spill the ball at the last minute. So that sort of thing, that's an inch away from a good score. So, and that's all it is in this game.
Absolutely. And I think it was 60 to 40% possession differential with Panthers on the wrong side of that as well. So that's not going to happen every weekend. If you look at last year as an example, so in round 16, Cleary scored 12. And then the rounds after that, after the bye and origin period, he came on and scored 80, 97, 88, 75, 74, 68. So please, again, trade him out. I dare you.
I don't own him either.
So the message is don't trade out people because of the weekend that's just gone, particularly guns.
I mean, I've got a 300 or whatever, and I don't own Ponga or Cleary. So this week, they can come out and score tons, and all of a sudden, I'm back 20,000. Yep. That's the nature of this game. And we had a Twitter question actually about that very thing, saying I'm, you know, X amount of points behind the lead. What's the point of keeping on going? Might have been a bit tongue-in-cheek, but at the end of the day, it's round one. Like, but you know, you're up there for a reason, and people are down there because they've got these guns that didn't perform, but they're just as likely to come out and kill it this week and destroy non-owners like myself. Fingers crossed.
So it was a horrible weekend of weather. Round one, teams are still adjusting. Don't read too much into it. It's the message and don't rage trade. Now, the second part of this point was around the injuries. And also we should say suspensions and a couple other things. Obviously, it started in the Broncos game with James Roberts going off after the fifth minute, which caused a huge amount of reshuffle with the bench because Staggs came on to the centres and the coach has even come out and said that completely disrupted what their plan was. So you don't read too much into that forward rotation, particularly with the amount of minutes that Fifita got. He's starting this week. Plus also Flegler only getting the 10 minutes as well. You know, he was actually really good when he was on the field. So don't, you know, be making that sideways trade to a couple of the other rookies this week just off one performance. Let's give him a bit more of a shot. And there were sprinklings of injuries all throughout the weekend that caused issues. So the big impact there is your bench rotation. And again, the message is, you know, don't just rush to a trade. We need at least another round or another couple of rounds before you do it.
You need a sample size where you've got a normal game. And normal is dry weather, good track, and no injuries. And it won't always happen, but it just means you can't read too much into, this guy got 80 minutes this week. Like he must be part of the coach. The coach loves him. He's going to do that all year. The risk you're running there is that the real rotation comes out this week, and all of a sudden that guy that you thought you needed to jump on suddenly becomes, you know, average, and the reason that you didn't pick him in the first place.
Yep.
So huge risk, and it's the best time of year to sit and watch. There's no risk. You've got two trades next week.
And hopefully, mate, you've done the research, you're comfortable with your side.
You shouldn't
be happen to make a couple of trades this week, you know, without injuries. You should be at least sticking with the side you've got. Otherwise, you know, what's the point in doing the research that you've done? There were some injuries, and we've covered that in the teams, the round two teams, so we won't go through them. But consistent messaging, don't jump to any trades. Calm down.
Calm down.
Okay. Number two, the second topic of the week, second row center wing duels. So I reckon that we've... Ryan Madison we had last year,
mm-hmm.
And obviously he was fantastic until he got injured,
yep.
or the concussion. But there haven't been too many other guys that, you know, are the legitimate 80-minute edge forwards or back rowers that are available in the center wing. And, you know, I remember when I first started playing the game that they were the roll gold guys. I remember picking Mannering in my second row,
yep.
In my center wing available, but it was playing in the second row. And guys like that were just, you know, fantastic.
Torben Harris,
huge.
Yep.
So they're the kind of guys that, you know, that I guess made or break your side. And I guess last year we kind of went away from that, and the year as well, when you had guys like Jordan Rapana and Eason Masters that were the dominant centre wings, and you had these guys that were just scoring a heap of tries and a heap of attacking stats, and we kind of went away a little bit from those guys that just, you know, produce a solid 50 to 60 each week. There's, you know, you're not going to get your huge 100 point gains, but you're also not going to get your 20 point shocks as well.
And shoring up that floor, we saw last year how damaging it could be to your score for the week if your centre wings didn't cross for tries and that kind of thing.
Yep.
So it's huge to have someone in there that you know is going to get 50 points or more with a try.
So partnering those guys up with, you know, a couple of center wing and maybe wingers that do have the occasional, 20-point game, but then they have the occasional 120, 150, you know, that's a recipe for super coach success rather than having, you know, four center wings that are all your outside backs, right? So maybe let's step through. So we've got a few this year that have come through. So they've got two Sharks forwards with Capewell and Nicora.
Mm.
Capewell is over that 300K. You know, we're well aware of his abilities. He's, you know, been a buy cover in past years, but he's got that starting edge role with Wade Graham out injured and also Luke Lewis not in the side. And also you've got Nicora, who is a rookie and thankfully priced at that basement level, and both played 80 minutes on the weekend.
Mm.
So is that a sign of things to come?
Well, I can't see why not for this game specifically, because there weren't any mid-game injuries or horrible weather conditions, I don't think, on Newcastle for this game. So the fact that Nicora, especially as a rookie, got 80 minutes on
yep.
that edge and did what he did, bodes well going forward. So yeah, Bakuya on the bench there, sort of floating around, but he got rotated elsewhere. So that's great signs. And just on Capewell, and this is Kurt Capewell, we've had some feedback on the chat about.
Yeah, Kurt's mum's finally not sending his death mail.
His missus is happy. Just on Capewell, if he was in any other side, I think he would have gotten so much more attention than he's gotten. And that's just because of the fact that you've got Nicora there in the exact same position, but 140k cheaper.
Yeah.
So some people have gone both of them, which turned out fantastically for them on the weekend. You got your hand raised. Yes, I'll let them know. Well done, mate. Well done.
Thanks.
But yeah, both of them, 80-minute second rows that you can plonk into your center wing, and that, you know, they get you that 50, 60 points for the next sort of 2 months while Wade Graham's gone. And in that time, you can work around your, as you said, the more volatile center wings around them. And build your points up that way. So I think they're both fantastic options. I missed out on Capewell for that very reason. I just thought Nicora's there. I don't necessarily. Sometimes it can just look ugly having so many of the same jersey in the one position.
Mate, light blue is a lovely colour.
I'm not a fan of that jersey, but yeah, you look at that, and if you've got both of them in there, you've done well first round, and you're set now going forward. The other guy we've got down here is the big talking point of the weekend, and that's John Bateman.
Yep.
Not Luke, as some unfortunate super coaches have now realized a little too late. But he was great on the weekend.
Yep.
I'm a non-owner, unfortunately.
Really?
I didn't buy into all of the stuff.
So what's your center wing look like?
Oh, let's get it up here. So I've got, unfortunately, and probably the biggest dud of my week was Kerrod Holland. So he's by far the highest price that I've got sitting in there at the moment. And he was bog ordinary on the weekend, as the Bulldogs were in general. But even job security for him, outside of his ankle issues, looks pretty shaky. He was awful.
Well, as long as Dean Pay is coach, his job security looks pretty good. He doesn't like to make any changes.
That poor bloke, who knows what he's doing there. You got Rhys Martin whiling away his time in reserves for some reason. But so I've had Kerrod Holland, who stunk it up. Tom Opacic as my, he's a Cowboys player.
Yeah, I thought that was fine, mate. About 30 right. points.
No, you can't
should have scored a try.
Yeah, it was a bit iffy, obstruction, and then he got brought down short. But, you know, against the Broncos, he's a sure thing for about three or four. So I had him sat there. I had Sivo. I played Nakora, which was handy. I didn't play Sivo. I played Nicol Klokstad, and he looked good. I didn't mind his game at all. There's a fair bit of people talking it down, but I thought he looked dangerous with the ball in hand. He was in horrible conditions. It was awful on the Gold Coast, as it normally is. But I think he passed the eye test for me. The Raiders looked reasonably good with the ball in hand. So I think he's got plenty more work to come. A little tougher because you got him at that 260K price range. But yeah, so the only sort of second row jewel that I've got in there is Nakora.
Yeah, okay.
So the others, I'm basically relying on him, Kerrod Holland, to get some goal-kicking stats if the Bulldogs can finally score, which seems a miracle, and a few of the other guys to fall over the line.
So I'm assuming that you will be targeting at least one of these guys before price rises?
Bateman, definitely.
Yep.
So I've got to work out now. I just
can't how to get him in.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fantastic. You've got so many jewels in that sort of... I've got a few jewels, I should say, in that second row, forward and center wing lineup. So I can shuffle some things around, but geez, I don't know how much longer I could go without Bateman in there if he turns it on again this week. And as we said, injury mid-game might have messed with his minutes. He ended up with 80, but Bateman also had to cover Simonson going off. So he moved to centers with about 15, 20 minutes to go. So again, conjecture there. But looking at him, I think Bateman is almost a must-have from next week.
I think so, given he's in that centre wing. So 61 base points as well and 65 points.
And he looked busy. It wasn't like an anomaly or anything like that. He just kept getting past the ball. He was wanting the ball. He was looking dangerous. He wasn't just taking bad runs.
Mate,
or anything.
I said this on the weekend. I'm dying for an interview.
Interview with Gus?
Well, I want someone to interview Bateman.
Oh, the gypsy.
The gypsy. I think he was a father when he was 17. There's nothing wrong with that. His players say that they can't understand a word that he says.
Oh, we can't understand Sparky. And how long have we known this Geordie local?
I just want to hear him talk. He's hilarious. But he just seems like that kind of guy. He's just tough as nails. Mm. And he comes across as someone that I think that Raiders fans are going to absolutely love, and opposition fans are absolutely going to hate. So maybe a little bit like an Adrian Morley or someone like that.
Adrian Morley,
but he's in my side, so I'm very happy about that.
Well done.
Okay, so moving on to the final topic of the week, and we have kind of covered that a lot, so we probably don't need to spend too much time on this. But to make trades early or not to make trades, I think the only trades that I'm making this week, if I was, would be forced injury trades, maybe Nathan Brown, something like that. But even the cheapies, and we're going to get onto some of these in the questions that are up next, but you need another week. You need to see if it's it's sustainable what they're producing, or if it's a one-hit wonder. So unless it's forced, I wouldn't be doing it. It's the last thing you want to be doing after the first two rounds is made four trades.
Exactly. And not just to see how they perform, but injuries. It's a massive part of our game. And you're basically taking a risk there that you don't need to take to bring in a guy. Like, you have a week now to watch how positions work, how minutes work, how these cheapies go and how their job security looks. Say, for example, or Sivo, you're obviously not going to trade him out because he's so cheap, but a guy like him who all of a sudden comes out and like nails his spot with a massive game. All of a sudden, that guy you thought, oh, he's a bit iffy, I can get this cheapie in over him because this guy killed it in his first week. That guy that you're bringing in looks like a stinker because he stuffed up on the weekend, and all of a sudden his job security's at risk. So it's just a huge week to just sit back and watch.
Just sit back. Don't pull the trigger.
Unless you desperately need to, unless for whatever reason you've got, you know, a billion injuries on your side.
And the way you need to look at it as well, mate, is that you've only got a limited number of trades.
Yep.
So if you were to sideways trade a gun to a gun, right, or even a cheapie to a cheapie, that's a trade that you don't have to upgrade. Mm. So we all want to have 17 locked in gun guys basically by the end, right?
Yep.
And, you know, by using these trades now, you're limiting your ability after the buys to be downgrading, upgrading. So downgrading to your nuffs, upgrading to these just rolled gold keepers. Mm. So that's another reason why you never just get rid of a gun. They'll come good, just ride it out.
And I can speak from experience, actually, how important it is to save these trades early on. So last year, obviously, did quite well in the early rounds. I had no need to... We're out of beer. This will be a long finish. So we got... didn't need to make trades in those early rounds. So I held them and I waited for necessity to arise.
Yep.
And I did that for 2 or 3 weeks. So I banked them while people were, you know, panicking left, right and center, bringing in guns for guns, cheapies for cheapies. And that allowed me later on in the year, not that I used them well because I ended up 500th, but that allowed me the option of where there was an injury late in the season to just automatically trade that person out.
Yep.
It wasn't a matter of, oh, I've got to now carry this guy on my bench because I've run out of trades. If you do not have to make a trade right this week, before,
don't do it.
Just don't.
Yep. And even next week, it sounds
well,
stupid.
It. Prices aren't going to go ballistic.
And the reason why I say that, so there's a couple of really good cheapies available at the moment. Well, I know we've spoken to them, so we won't go into too much detail with them. But if I just have a look at my side, right, and if I'm thinking about who I've currently got in my forward, because that's, you got a host and you got a Lowry, and you've also got Garner, who was our first Twitter question. Yep. But I've got Fifita, Joe O, Lane, Flegler, then Trbojevic, Arrow, Murray, Fitzy, Madison, and Burr.
So no need to do anything.
I don't think next week, I don't think I'm going to be trading any of those guys for a Lowry or a host or anyone, because I'm not going to be downgrading one of my guns. I can't trade a Flegler to one of them without burning another trade. The only one would be Burr, but if he's starting at lock,
yeah, you're right,
and he's churning, all I need to do is churn out for 30 points,
yep,
he's going to earn that. So yeah, I just wouldn't get sucked up into these hype players.
What do we say a trade's worth?
About 100 grand.
Yeah, easy. So if you think by moving X cheapie to X cheapie, you're going to make yourself 100k better off in the long run, all things going perfectly, then yeah, do it. But
save your trades. That's the message.
Yep.
Okay. All right, mate. We are running out of time, big time. But let's jump into our Twitter questions. So we put them out, hashtag ask the SC report. And we've selected a handful of questions which we... I've already kind of touched on, so we're going to move through these quite quickly. The first one is from Adam at Smalley Tweets. Should those that started with Crichton persist or trade to Lolo or even downgrade to Lane and Maddo?
Oh, it's a tough one because obviously, you know, we're saying don't waste trades or anything. But with Crichton, I think you've got to bite the bullet because next week he may come in and start. And all of a sudden, you've just got to wear that, say... What did we say? 80, 100K price drop. Because he's a gun. He's a guy that you're going to get in eventually. You've just happened to go 1 week early. And at the end of the day, like, it doesn't matter what his price does, because if you've locked him in as a set and forget sort of option, you just ride that out. So I don't see, as we've said, trading him down to a Lolo or a Lane or a Maddo now is worth it, because you just he might be back next week.
I'm holding Crichton if I have him.
Yep,
Because you knew that he was starting from the bench before the game, right? So you knew that. Next one, Luke Garner. So is Garner worth bringing in? So that's a question we've got from a numerous amount of people, but we'll just answer that. I mean, I was very surprised with what he did. So I think he had around about 50 base points. Yep. Let me just double check that. But I think that's what he produced. Played 60-odd minutes as well. Yeah, I was very 41 base points he scored. 65 minutes for 80 points. He had the try line break. So I was quite surprised in his performance. But he's at that elevated price of 265. So even if he goes along and scores from here out, I think it's about, he'll could earn, if he just lock away what he scored last week. And this, I encourage everyone to go and do that, to at least just go and play around with the price calculator within NRLSupercoachStats.com before you make any trade, just to go and do it. And just say if he was to average 45 from here out, including this week, his price is going to go up by 160K.
Yep.
Where if we compare to somebody like a Host, might not score as well, but because he's at that lower price, he's looking likely to go up by about 200K.
So, I mean, who's to say he doesn't host, doesn't fall over for a try? So Garner obviously scored quite a good one there, but who's to say that Host doesn't come out and do that himself? And
absolutely.
Bump up his, you know, 40 to an 80.
And the play, people that, and I'm going to make reference to Mark, who was running through his trades today with me, but he's a guy that had said, I'm going to bring him in, and he's not even starting him in his 17.
Oh, well, so no point.
270,000 is a lot to have as a non-playing reserve. Yes, he's going to do it, but unless you've got him in there to be started, basically playing, giving you 40 to 50 points per week, that's a lot of money that you could be using elsewhere. Mm. So it's probably, I'd probably rather use that cash and say a Lowry or a Host.
Yep, go cheaper, less risk.
Or McCarley as well from the Tigers, who scored pretty well on the weekend with around about 30 odd points. So.
Great guy.
Okay, let's move along. So that's Garner. So, I mean, if you started with him, fantastic work, but I probably wouldn't be rushing to buy. JT's got his hand up, well done. I would definitely be waiting a week.
Yep.
You've got Cheekham on the bench as well for the Tigers. Who knows what's going to happen there?
Again, no good signs that he got the 60 minutes before getting subbed out.
Yep. Thomas Flegler, so we'll cover that very quickly. I mean, I would definitely just hold him.
No, can't trade him out. He's bottom dollar, and you don't know what minutes are going to look like this week. Again, that's why we've said hold this week, because he might come out and play 30 or 40.
Yep.
Who knows?
So Nathan Brown we've covered, so I don't think we need to talk to him. Jerome Hughes, question here from Sampy 1111. Jerome Hughes will be a keeper this year, yay or nay?
Ooh, I said nay in the off-season because I didn't want to pick him up. I thought he's behind Drinkwater for a reason there.
Yep.
I've seen what he can do in the past, but to get that for a full year might be a bit iffy. But he looked classy on Thursday night. And I don't know, if you backed him in, like, all power to you. It's that magic number one jersey. So I've said nay, but again, we've got a one-game sample size to go off there.
Base point performance of 35.
Mm. Fullback, that's
love
that's
that. That's really good. So,
and they kick to him.
Yep.
So yeah,
lots of promise there. So well done if you've selected him.
So yay or nay?
I'm saying the potentially yay. However, how can you have him as a keeper when you've got Turbo and Tedesco at fullback, and then halfback? He's not going to be in the top few guys there.
Mm. His peers are strong.
Yep. Okie doke. So where are we going? John Bateman is the next question. So NRL Supercoach Addicts. So at NRL @NRL_SC_Addicts. Do you see Bateman as a must-have after round one, even if it means you have to trade someone like Holland? So I would not be trading him in this week. Even for a Holland, I'd be waiting till next week.
Yeah, so I mean, I picked Holland because he's got this high base stat churnout that he sort of got on the weekend, but the thing with him is that he might come out and score a try. Holland plays on the edge, whereas Bateman plays in the middle, and you sort of know what you're going to get there. So obviously they're around that same price. So as much as I say don't bin a guy like Holland unless you desperately need to, unless he's named out of the side there, people are going to have to make some tough decisions coming up in order to fit Bateman in. And obviously a lot of people have gone with cheap center wings. So it's going to be tough to find that cash there.
Yep.
But whether you, I have said, I reckon he's almost a must-have
from next week. I think
from next week.
Okay, moving along. Let's talk about Jordan Kahu. So we've got a tweet from @Stebo7. Is it too early to trade Kahu out for Burns, who we haven't spoken about at all, Braden Burns? And what about Holland if you have him as a second hooker?
Yeah, we've mentioned Holland there. Like he has the potential to be a premium centre wing if the Bulldogs get their stuff together, but who knows. In terms of Kahu, though, everyone was warned. Everyone was warned what this guy could put out. People have obviously still ignored that and gotten him for a reason, and that's because he's a goal-kicking fullback playing in a reasonable side, as other people call it, the best side in the comp, as I call it, and he could fall over the line at any time. So, yes, I would say it's too early now to trade Kahu out for Braden Burns. You're going to give us a reason why, Braden Burns?
Well, I think the reason why is we've seen what he's provided in the past and hasn't been that great.
Yep.
So he's a classic example of just wait and see.
Exactly.
If he produces something similar, so I think he had over 35 base points around about that. I'm just going to pull it up now. So he produced 34 base points on the weekend. He got a couple of downgrades, I think, which impacted him. But let's just see if that happens again.
Yeah, you've got a free week. Prices don't move. You can see what happens. Was this a one game wonder kind of thing from Braden Burns?
Moving along, so the next question that we have here from at Coops006, and it's just Clemmer question mark.
Yeah, well, he's a guy that's flown under the radar, much like James Tarmo did until this weekend. But I don't know. He's around that awkward sort of price that he's not quite a premium, but he's not quite a mid-ranger who could go ballistic. I think he's just going to churn out those pretty handy scores. But again, like, you're sort of caught in the middle there because he's not going to make as much money as a mid-range guy like, say, TPJ. And he's not going to bang out the scores that Gerbo or someone will eventually get to. So personally, I think he's just a bit too middle-ish. He's probably a great guy to have in like a draft competition.
Yep.
But I don't see the value there, especially because he's playing Origin as well. So he misses that chunk of time during the middle. So I didn't see anything that would make me think, like, damn, I've missed out on a good one here.
Yeah. I mean, the only things that I would put to you on that is that last year averaged 52 base points per game. In round one this year, he's produced 59 minutes of 64. He averaged 56 minutes per game last year. So if that's a trend that increases, and he produced 69 points, right, that's Gerbo-esque. So Gerbo averaged 59 base points last year. So if we see that again next week, at 538,000, if you're still holding on to Nathan Brown, it's not the worst shout. He's a dual position, second row, front row forward. So depending on what his role is at the Knights, he's the big dog of the pack, right?
Yeah, but again, we're coming back to the fact that it was one game.
One game. So they said, wait, let's wait. But if you're going to get, if after round two he's producing, he's playing over 60 minutes, close to 65, and his base points up around 60, then surely you can't ignore that.
All right, wait and see.
Cannot ignore that. But yeah, one game is too small a sample size. Last year, he averaged 56 minutes, 58 points per game, priced very awkwardly at 540,000. We've got other guys that are around about, not too far off that with the Ryan Madison, who was fantastic on the weekend, and then a little bit lower with Sean Lane. So there's plenty of options there. But yeah, the signs are very good for Clemmer. Okay, let's move along to the final part. And just some general questions before we close out. I'm just having a look here. So long-time follower of the site, at Crusader_29, how does one delete team?
We've had a few people clearly going shopping for toasters this week. They had a rough week by the sound, so people are
Tom
asking,
Sangster.
Yeah, poor guy. Asking why they're trash cans at this game, I think someone mentioned, and obviously the delete team button. But, it's 1 week. So as I said, people will kill it for 1 week, and then next minute all the guns that didn't perform will, and you'll slide back. So hold on.
Hold on, Andrew. Last one is from at Rob_McAndrew. Do you think the Bulldogs would be the same as the Knights from a couple of years ago, whereby we just our captain comes from whoever is playing them?
Still hard to say either between them or the Titans, looking at their horrible run with injuries starting. But yeah, they looked so off the pace in New Zealand there. And obviously the Warriors were up for that game and everything, but just defensive structures. Holland was all over the shop there. They were falling off tackles. It was ugly.
Mate, from memory, that left side edge was horrific.
No, it was gone.
Particularly in that first half. The amount of times that the Warriors went straight down there.
So I had a mate, Matt, that wanted to give a shout out to his fullback, Roger Skuivasashek, for getting across the stripe and setting one up there. But that guy's not going to play a Kerrod Holland on the edge every week. So, but yeah, I think that's why I'm looking at the Eels this week. I'm playing Sivo on a matchup there because I think there's plenty of points looking at that Dogs lineup.
Yep.
Awful.
Even a Sean Lane's a good captain option this week.
Sean Lane, I actually have thought about him as a sneaky option there. Hopefully he'll bang out the 80 again. And
yep. Looks very dangerous. Very dangerous playing off Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dylan Brown, 18-year-old, looked right at home there. That was great to see.
Yep. So I didn't watch the Sharks, and I'm sorry, I'm putting you on the spot here, but I didn't watch the Sharks Knights game. Because I think that's when we had Friday drinks.
Yeah, I was also at these drinks.
You also had these drinks.
And not paying too much.
From memory,
attention.
You were enjoying yourself as well.
Oh, and this too is news, yep.
Did Capel play on the same edge as Johnson?
Did Capel play on the same edge as Sean Johnson? I thought Nakora was the one that was playing on the same edge as SJ, and that was why a lot of people were quite happy about that.
Because it's the one thing that I wasn't sure of about the round, so I need to go back and have a look at that game probably to see.
I'm sure someone will correct us.
Someone will comment, and we're not actually saying the answer, but it's one just to check, because that's another thing as well. If you're looking to bring in someone next week, if Capewell is playing on that edge, then that's going to be so dangerous. But anyway, we don't have the answer. And I've just thrown JT a hand grenade at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, I need more Tui's new under my belt.
All right, mate. Well, that is going to do us for the round one wrap / round two preview, whatever you want to call it. But
and we've gone over again.
We might hit under an hour. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening in, and we will see you next week.
Yeehaw.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.